In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today, brothers and sisters, we see the power of demons. And the power of demons is great indeed to those that allow them to have power. We see how the demons tormented a man, killed pigs, and most importantly, deluded an entire people, an entire village. The man was possessed by many demons, so many that when the Lord asked, "What is your name?" speaking to the demons inside the man, they answered, "Legion," because there were so many. We should take this to heart. There are legions of demons, and there is a war going on. You might not see it, but it is happening. In fact, it is happening at this very moment. God assigns to each one of us a guardian angel to help protect us. And that does help even when we are not following God. Because without the protection of the angels, the full wrath of the demons, the full anger, the senseless violence of the demons would be manifest in an instant, in a heartbeat. People would be stabbing each other on the streets if God were not protecting us from the evil of the demons. This is absolutely true. God protects us from them. They are very powerful, and they indeed would be able to make us insane in an instant. But God will not allow that. Even with very evil people, He generally does not allow that. Only occasionally do people become so inveterately evil that He gives them up to themselves, and they become unspeakably evil. That's very rare. So this man was possessed by so many demons, and he was an outcast in his village. They had him in fetters. They tried to keep him away from the town. He would tear his clothes off. Clothing, always in Scripture, is a sign of virtue. You know how we say, as many as have been baptized in Christ have put on Christ. That idea of putting on clothing, putting on the wedding garments. So a person who is pulling off his clothes in the Scripture would be someone who's bereft of virtue. And even in our day, someone who would be pulling off their clothes would be found to be a little bit odd, if not very mentally ill. And so he pulled off his clothes and he ran around and he was very violent, and everybody was frightened of him. So he couldn't live in a house, a place of quiet, a place of peace. He lived in the tombs. And so Jesus came into that area and the demons immediately recognized him. You see, the demons know about what's going to happen. We should know too. I guess we know, but we don't act like we know, because we don't live like it is such an immediate thing, like our life is in crisis. But the demons know exactly what's going to happen. So they beg the Lord, involuntarily calling Him who He is, the Son of God Most High. I'm sure that was very bitter to them when they found themselves saying that. They were telling the truth. They didn't want to tell the truth, but they could not stop themselves. And they begged Him that they would not be thrown into the abyss and already tortured before the time, because there will be a time, and the demons will go to their place. And the reason the demons go to their place is because they will not repent. They refuse to repent. And so they will go to their place in the end of time. That place which is where there is the weeping and the gnashing of the teeth, where there is no possibility of amendment or change. We are not in that place now, brothers and sisters. We can change. Even if there are terrible things that we've done, or terrible things that we're doing. Or perhaps, maybe we wouldn't characterize our life as terrible things, but maybe we just feel like we're in a rut and there's a lot of things that we just don't do right. We feel like we're a little bit of a goof up. Whatever it is, we can change. The demons will not. We know this. And so, our Lord commanded, and immediately they went into the pigs that were feeding on the hill, these illegal pigs raised by Jews against the law, the dietary laws. And the pigs, startled by the presence of these vicious creatures, not having guardian angels to protect them, were so terrified, were so filled with rage and not knowing what to do, that they ran pell-mell in down the hill into the sea, and they were drowned. This shows how evil and wicked demons are, how powerful they are. And if we do not beseech the Lord for protection, how they can affect us. Now, for the most part, people are not going to run pell-mell into the sea. Certainly people do terrible things because of demons, either because of possession or because of demons enticing them and tempting them. Many suicides are because of demonic oppression. In fact, probably all of them are. But the greatest evil that the demons perpetuate upon us is what he does, or what he did, to the people of the town. Now imagine, you're raising pigs, and you're not really living the right way, but, you know, probably a relatively decent person. Not following the Jewish law, sort of on the outskirts of it, right? Kind of in the black market. So, you know, you're not completely on the up and up about things. You're probably still someone who loves their children and lives their life and goes to synagogue and, you know, cares about people and things like that. Just like everybody else in the world. And then, but you're afraid of this man that's out in the countryside. You're terrified of him. You don't ever go out there. I guess whenever anybody's buried, you're terrified because he's out there. And then he's healed. You get word from the swineherders that this man is completely healed. That the demons were cast out. He's now normal. And unfortunately, all the pigs were lost. So what happens? It says the whole multitude of the town. I think this is not an unimportant point. When the whole multitude says something, you can just about guarantee it's wrong. In Orthodoxy, the multitude of Orthodox don't go to church. They're wrong. The multitude of people believe things that are just wrong. You take a look at a group of people, how many people, if you get some political survey, how many people are pro-choice? How many people are in favor of all kinds of immorality being legislated? If a group of people is in favor of something, you better think about the opposite opinion, because that's probably the right one. So the whole multitude went out to him, and they were afraid. They were terrified because they had seen or heard of, they'd felt the power of God in their midst. And they were sinners. They were people who were raising pigs. And the demons made them afraid. But not afraid so that they would repent. Only afraid of their livelihood being lost. And only afraid of God exposing them. Only afraid of their life being changed. Of them being shaken out of their complacency. These are people that were unable to look up. They were earthly people, like most people. And so the demons had them completely deluded. And here was salvation in their midst. Their Savior was amongst them. They had seen the power of God, and they rejected it because they were afraid of it. Because it was going to change them. Because where the power of God is, you have to change. I think that's part of why a lot of people in Orthodoxy don't go to church a lot. And also don't commune often. There's not a whole lot of choice. When you go to commune often and you pray and you fast, you're going to find out stuff about yourself you don't like. It's going to happen. It's not easy. It's really easier to be sort of, you know, tone it down a little bit. Because that's easier. There's no doubt about it. But it's not the right way. It's not what gets you fixed. It's not what heals you. And these people were deluded by the demons. And so they asked him to leave. And of course he left. And then he was gone. They rebuilt their lives. And they had lost the opportunity for their Savior to heal them. But one man was healed. And that was the man who had formerly been possessed by a legion of demons. He was found clothed, seated at the feet of Jesus, and in his right mind. All those things are important. They're there for a reason. Clothed, meaning now he could live virtuously. Before, when he was possessed by the demons, he couldn't live virtuously. Now he can, because God made him capable. In his right mind, now he could see the truth. Now he could live according to truth. And seated at the feet of Jesus. You won't stay in your right mind unless you stay at the feet of Jesus. Now, a lot of people in this world are not in their right mind. But they don't act crazy. They don't look crazy to us. They don't tear off their clothes. They don't run around and scream and everything. They wear suits. They wear shorts. They go to Walmart. They raise their families. But they have no sense of eternity in their life. They're not in their right mind. A person who's in the right mind knows the purpose of their life and strives for it. And I would be so bold to say that all of us should consider that many times during the day we are not in our right mind. Let's not be arrogant about ourselves now. When we choose to do something that is contrary to the way of life, that's nonsensical. So we're not in our right mind when we choose those things. When we choose our pride over God, over humility. When we choose ambition over seeking God. When we choose to just be lazy or to vegetate or to watch TV or whatever instead of to pray. Or perhaps not always choosing, but just finding that we're just not able to build good habits. Let's be honest about ourselves. We're not completely in our right mind. The mind of the church is Jesus Christ. We don't yet share His mind completely. To the extent that we don't share His mind, we're not in our right mind. Let's just be honest with ourselves. That's just the truth. We're not completely in our right mind. But we can be if we seek out God. And then great things can happen. Now, ask yourself, do you have the problems of this man who is possessed by demons? Do you run around without clothes? Do you go do people chain you up? Do you act insane? I would say no, right? So you don't have his problems. But look what happened to him. Once he was healed of the demons, he became an apostle. Because the Lord said, go and tell everybody. And he did. He went all over the place telling people what happened and spreading the good news, the gospel, that Jesus Christ came to heal. So a man who had done such evil things and was so insane became, I suppose I'll make up a new word, super sane. He became completely sane. He became completely in his right mind, knowing about good and evil and knowing about seeking God. Do you have the problems of these people of the town? Now here I think it's a little more ambiguous. I think we're going to have to answer yes on some of that. Because the people of the town were not in their right mind. They didn't always pick the right thing. Now perhaps we're not busy openly breaking Christian law like they were openly breaking Jewish law. But they didn't see that God was among them. They rejected Him. And if we're honest with ourselves, we do that too. But what can happen if we just struggle to direct our will towards God? He will see that, just like he saw the prodigal son turn and want to change and want to go to his father and be forgiven and just be put in the house with the farmhands. And what did he do? He met him, a weak man struggling to get home. And he gave him everything. And he strengthened him. So it is with us. We're in the position of these townspeople, at least to some extent, greater or lesser. What do? Let's struggle to turn our will towards God. And God will see that struggle. It's a pitiful struggle. It's a weak struggle. We don't have enough juice to get it done. But God does. And so, He will see us struggle. And then, what is bad in our life can become good. And we can become also apostles, because I'll tell you, each one of you has to be one. An apostle spreads the good news. Not all of us are called to be deacons or priests or bishops, but we are all called to give an account. We are all called to show what good things Christ has done for us. And all we need to do is struggle to turn our will towards Him, and He will help us. So we see in this story the power of the demons over those who allow the demons to have power over them. But when that power is broken, and Christ can break it with a thought, then we can become apostles. We can become good. So don't be afraid of the demons. Be afraid of how you live. If you live complacently, that's what you should be afraid of. If you're lazy in your prayers, that should make you afraid. Because if you stay complacent, you'll never really seek out after the truth. And you won't really know that you're not seeking out after the truth. That's sad. So don't be afraid, overly afraid of the demons. Respect their power. But know that all you need do is cleave to the Lord Jesus Christ, and they are powerless. Remember that their greatest attribute, their greatest sin, is their pride. Whenever we are proud, we are like them. They can imitate any virtue except humility. So the fathers tell us. So if you humble yourself, they will not hurt you. That's why I said some of the things just now about us not being in our right mind. Humble yourself and believe that, because it's true whether you believe it or not. I'm not saying any one of you is crazy in terms of the way the world thinks craziness. Actually, the world thinks we're crazy because we actually believe in virtue. But from a Christian perspective, we have not yet become completely healed. And we have not yet become wise. We're on our way. May God continue to help us. Humble yourself, brothers and sisters, and the demons won't be able to hurt you. Amen.